SBS Radio.
Often people say that Canada is kind of leading the way in terms of Indigenous affairs, for example. People always point to Canada for the things that are working well. But it's a country that has openly advertised that over 4,000 Indigenous women have been murdered or are missing, and that's horrific. But even worse, here in Australia, we don't even know the statistics. It's only just recently we're hearing more and more about Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women's deaths in custody, but there are so many more that we actually just don't get to hear about until families come forward and make some noise to find out what's happened to their family members.
Do you have any idea of statistics that are available now? The numbers in Canada, 4,000, is just shocking. But in Australia, what's the scale of this, I wouldn't even call it disaster. I've got no word for it.
You know, there have been people who have been trying to keep count of numbers, and I think Celeste Little, for one, on social media was posting, you know, how many deaths of Aboriginal women. But so many are unreported in media, so people don't get to know about them, and that's the most shocking thing. I mean, there's not been one week that's gone by, really, where I haven't seen some news about the death of an Indigenous woman here in Australia. So the numbers here would be quite staggering as well, if they were known.
Yeah, unfortunately, the late Ray Jackson is no with us anymore. He used to actually tally and follow up all these cases. Others have taken up his work, but I don't think there's anyone doing the same level of putting in the same level of commitment as he used to do.
Yeah, no, I don't think so either. I think it's really poorly investigated and very poorly accounted for. We rely on maybe media, writing stories about these things, but there's such a paucity of that. And I mean, there's only a few examples of Indigenous media who try to cover such cases, and that's generally where we hear the news. But, you know, through mainstream media, we don't hear about the deaths, the unlawful deaths of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander women at a regular basis as they occur. And particularly in deaths in custody, we just don't hear about those.
There was a good definition of deaths in custody in the context of the Deathscape project, because I covered it last year, and it's actually not just death in prison, it's actually death under some form of administrative detention or under state authority, because people tend to think it's only in jail or police custody, but you can be actually detained without being physically restrained.
Absolutely. Like the definition is far broader. And I think that's part of the complication on this, that people only look to deaths in prison as opposed to in any kind of care or state care. So that's much bigger.
Why does the Australian legal system continue to discriminate against Aboriginal women and girls?
Look, there's a really long history of colonial violence towards Indigenous women. Throughout history, those kinds of perpetrators have actually been celebrated for the kinds of, you know, crimes they've committed against women. We hear all sorts of stories, and in that Deathgate project, I spoke about a person who was in 1980s who was actually interviewed, and he was speaking about how much fun they used to have grabbing hold of young Indigenous girls. And of course, they'd refer to them in really derogatory ways, like using the terms lubra or gin, which are really offensive terms. So they would grab hold of young Indigenous girls and use them for sex. And when they were finished with them or they were found to be pregnant, they would throw them overboard or discard them. Wow. There's like multiple stories where these are the things that are written at the hand of the perpetrators celebrating those acts.
And nobody investigates for this kind of criminal activity.
That is the interesting thing, isn't it? So why aren't these people, held to account?
How important is it that Australia follows in the footsteps of the United States and Canada, both of which have had recent initiatives regarding missing and murdered Indigenous women?
Well, I think in Canada we hear about it, but not much is actually being done about it. How does a country or a particular part of that country have that scale of known murdered or missing women without any sort of national emergency being called? Why isn't this a worldwide you know, emergency, because this is not, these are only some colonial countries, but across the world, violence against women is huge proportions right across the world. So we're just talking about a few places, but right across the world, women and young girls are targeted constantly, you know, for violence. And violence in custody has a long, long history. Yeah. And just not that long ago, Lang Hancock came out on a video on TV, on the ABC News, where he suggested that we poison the water and feed it to Aboriginal people to sterilise them. So he was really particularly targeting Indigenous women. And in that way, we could breed out Indigenous people. So women have always been the target and continue to be the target for this kind of violence. And only this week in the news, another, you know, young pregnant woman was killed, and the person who was, you know, who's under trial or has been arrested for that has been let out on bail.
Wow. Okay.
You know, so where's the worth of that life? So, or lives, her and her baby.
People who've stolen things in shops and things like that get jailed, and people get jailed for public drunkenness. Well, that crime does not exist anymore, but and yet someone for murdering another person just gets away with so lightly.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, you know, shocking statistics to think that that happens in this country, which is considered a first world country, where violence against women has been on the agenda of our government. Where they've come out saying that, you know, this has really got to stop, yet it's allowed and continue to allow it in the Indigenous context.
Recently we had Linda Burney call for a Senate inquiry into missing Indigenous women. Does it bring some hope that something is going to be done and is being brought to the forefront?
I really hope so, and I really celebrate the fact that Linda Burney's done that, because she's brought to some attention to it from media. So she's used her position of power to do that. So, you know, and that's, these are hard jobs for women, Indigenous women in you know, in our parliament system, to be able to speak up and get the respect that they deserve and have a voice. So, yeah, I really celebrate Linda Burney for stepping up and doing that. But you actually would think her calling for that would cause our government at higher levels, or even our Prime Minister, to say, oh, this is a major issue, I need to get behind this because this is just wrong. Yeah. But that hasn't happened.
The call was made back in December. Until today, yeah, we haven't had a lot of stir in the media or in the political world about this situation, as if no human lives are not involved.
Yeah, and it's so shocking. So even when, you know, somebody within the parliamentary system calls for it, even though it's well known and even mainstream media are publishing deaths in custody when it happens, and Indigenous media are highlighting this, there's a real strong call for publicly for you know, people to take notice of this. It's still largely ignored by those in power. You know, when we think about deaths in custody, we do need to think about that more broadly. So it wasn't that long ago there was a report about the children who were young girls being strip searched by police officers. So we can see that there's already a start for the devaluing of females and female bodies, yeah, right there at an early stage, let alone Indigenous young girls. So we can see being strip searched by police officers without parental consent and without the safety of parents, even after the, you know, Deaths in Custody Royal Commission has set down a whole range of recommendations which have been all ignored, which include the care of Indigenous people when they come into custody. All of those things have been ignored. And, you know, how many years is it now? 30 years later? You know, we are still seeing high numbers of deaths in custody, high levels of violence against Indigenous women when they are in custody, and we also see high levels of violence when they're in state care custody. And so kids being removed, women being targeted, locked up for unpaid fines, et cetera, et cetera. So we see a pattern here, which just is a continuation of colonial violence, where women were targeted right from the beginning. They were targeted as objects to be used by men for sex and discarded when they were no longer needed or fell pregnant. They were targeted through the assimilation and protection policies where their children were removed, and they were seen as, you know, the ones who were continuing on, you know, having Aboriginal children, when people tried to stop that, like Lang Hancock, etc., with his suggestions of you know, poisoning the water. Right throughout this colonial history into contemporary times, we see the same patterns of violence against women.
Yeah, and this Hancock, did he face any... Because what he said is actually an act of genocide, legally speaking.
Absolutely. So that's what he was suggesting. It's on, it's on the current affairs video. I mean, if you Google it, it will come up, Lang Hancock, poison the water, where his suggestion is that we poison the water and that will naturally breed out Indigenous people.
Wow. No,
and that was in the 80s. That man and his family... Yeah. Has strong connections to our government system and our politicians.
Yeah, because he's wealthy and powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. But still, untouchable is not a word we should be using in day and age. Justice
Absolutely.
Has to prevail in a way or another.
People should check out that Deathscape site.
Yeah.
I think it should be used as a teaching tool. I certainly use it as a teaching tool in Indigenous studies, but I think other disciplines and non-Indigenous people should draw on that site. Every single person who teaches law, history, cultural studies, sociology and the like should be using that site. It's a fabulous resource. It'll be, continue to be added to. I love that there's this whole representation of women, including trans women and the LGBTQI community, who are often targeted at higher rates, again, even more so than Indigenous women. Indigenous trans women face even worse sort of conditions than most, and all of these things really need to be addressed. But as a teaching tool, this is a brilliant resource.
Yeah, and there's a site in Redfern, I think, that should be...
I mean, it's free. Yeah. It's free to use. So you show that to students, and I think that you'll have this amazing reaction from them when they'll start to think about, what's this world that we live in where this kind of violence can continue to be perpetrated against a very small population of people who are some of the most disadvantaged people in this country?
Yeah, vulnerable people, disadvantaged, and yet being even...
Targeted.
Targeted, that's... Yeah.
I mean, in some instances, hunted.
That's even a more powerful...
When you target particular groups, you make laws... Yeah. That focus on particular groups like the unpaid fines or being drunk in public, you're targeting and hunting particular people.
Most definitely, yeah, because you can then arbitrarily decide what level of tolerance you can apply, and so it becomes very arbitrary. Like,
in Western Australia, we've heard of pregnant women naked having to give birth in their cells.
Ooh.
That would not happen to any other person in this country other than an Indigenous woman. That's outrageous that she would call for help, be stripped naked and made to give birth by herself in a cell. There are so many stories that are so horrific, it literally blows your mind. They're so unbelievable because of the horror of them that it really, people have to stop and think, is this happening in Australia? Right now, in contemporary Australia, this is the kind of way that we treat First Nations people.
Yeah.
It's a shame on Australia, and Australians should be calling for, an inquiry and calling for justice for Indigenous people, because, if you can allow that to happen to some of the most vulnerable people in your society, then it can happen to any of you.
Yeah, that's something I always hear from countries at war or countries where there's a lot of discrimination. I remember how they say, first they came for this group, you said nothing, then they came for this other group, you said nothing, and when they come for you, well, there won't be anyone to protect you.
Yeah, absolutely. And, just appalling that Australians would be so silent about such issues.
It's not reported in the media, and the politicians are also, I think, very silent on this. And
I remember watching that film Utopia, and this wasn't particularly talking about Indigenous women deaths in custody. It was talking about the Mr. Ward case, the Aboriginal man who died of third-degree burns in the back of a corrective services van.
Yeah.
And when the federal minister for corrective services, was interviewed about it, she said she made her staff endure cultural awareness training over it. Cooking a man in the back of a corrective services van.
And slap on the wrist, and that's the end of the story.
Yeah, that's the end of it. This country should be absolutely outraged. If somebody left a pet in the car and that pet died, it would make the news across all of the mainstream media channels, and this country would be outraged, and rightly so. But an Aboriginal man is treated in the same way and loses his life, and there is no outrage.
No, there's a selective outrage and manufactured outrage, I believe, a lot of
Absolutely.
The time. And not for the right reasons, the real, real, real reasons.
Absolutely.
Should be looked
and then,
for,
you know, when they're taking Aboriginal women into custody,
yeah.
and the fact, you know, on, you know, quite a significant scale, they end up dead, but what of their family and children?
Yeah.
So we see this cycle now where there are children now left without their mums.
Yeah.
To be raised in, what, a foster care system or something?
Yeah.
You know, we see that same kind of violence just going round and round, and it's the same violence. It's colonial violence, and it continues.
Yeah. The colonial settler state, these are the words that are used in the Deathscapes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Study, yeah.
And those same kinds of violences are still happening.
In the 21st century.
Yeah.
Want to hear more stories like this? Listen on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts from.